Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Red America Podcast. My name is Jonathan Cook, and I'm your host. Joining me today is a North Carolina digital and communications advisor for some Republican officials, Garrett Ventry. Garrett, how you doing?
Okay, Jonathan. Thanks for having me on today, man. I appreciate it. It's nice day out here September.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. So you don't have anything going on right now. The Republican Party is way ahead, right?
I wish that was the case, man. I thought, you know, this time last year, I thought we'd be cruising to victory. I mean, I knew we'd have some tough races nationwide, and obviously here in North Carolina as well. You know, governor races and Senate races are obviously really tight, and North Carolina is a swing state when it comes to the presidential race. For sure, Obama won North Carolina in 2008, then Romney won in 2012. So it's definitely a sought-after state, but definitely a lot of work to do. I wish it was the other way around.
let's talk about some of the North Carolina races right quick. I have the poll numbers for the governor's race. Cooper's winning. It looks like the Real Clear Politics average is 49 to 43. Do you think that's accurate?
I mean, I'd say, you know, I mean, those are the poll numbers. You know, they try to do the, you know, there's margin of error, obviously. They try and do, you know, get multiple polls. Real Clear Politics will take from the CNN poll, from the Wall Street Journal poll, from the Fox poll, the Q poll, and some of those other polls here they do, even in North Carolina locally, like Civitas, I believe, they might even throw in there. But yeah, I mean, I think it gives us a decent idea of where we are. I think it's a close race. It's obviously a swing state, but I think it's going to come down here to the next month or so. The governor and Cooper have a debate coming up, but I think, you know, it gives us a decent idea of what's going on in our state as far as the governor's race and kind of what that looks like. But I think it's a close race.
It's pretty interesting because it seems like Pat McCrory and even Dan Forrest are not afraid to go out anytime Trump or Pence are in the state. But it almost feels like Roy Cooper hides when Hillary Clinton, he's not really hit when Tim Kaine has come into the state. But why do you think that is? Do you think it's an intentional effort by the Cooper campaign to stay out of the way of Hillary Clinton, or is this just coincidental?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I know recently he's been at a few of the rallies, but I know prior to that he was not in attendance. Or I think there was even for a little bit he didn't even endorse her when she had officially became the nominee. It took a little bit for him, I think, to come around and do that. I mean, I think part of it's probably calculated. I mean, Hillary Clinton is not very trustworthy. A lot of Americans see her as corrupt, whether it's from the days of her being Secretary of State with things like Benghazi, with her not telling the full truth about that, and then obviously her email server being discovered by the Benghazi committee and people like Trey Gowdy finding, you know, as they're looking through information on Benghazi, seeing this private email server that was set up. But I think that Cooper and I think the Democrats know that their candidate for president is not a good candidate. She's corrupt, whether it's from, like I said, lying about things with Benghazi, her emails, her health issues that she didn't fully tell the truth and disclose. You know, I'm glad she's feeling better, obviously, but I think you see this is a lady that America finds is untrustworthy. And a lot of people think she's unfit for office and think that she really believes she's above the law in a lot of ways. And her husband have lived that way for 2 to 3 decades now, where they think they're above the law. And they've had many scandals from the Clinton Foundation to Bill Clinton with Monica Lewinsky, all the way down to Hillary Clinton as her time as Secretary of State. So I think that it could be a little bit intentional. Obviously, I don't know exactly what the Cooper campaign is thinking, but obviously it raises a question to, you know, her being a down ticket, kind of disaster with her record. And a lot of that, you know, has to do with Roy Cooper is similar to Hillary Clinton, right? With the FBI investigation. He didn't clean up the issues there in the crime lab. WRAL came out with a fact check talking about that and saying They gave it a red light. So basically they said that Cooper's ad saying that he did clean it up was false. And he sent, I think, something like 14 emails or 16 emails over the course of his 15-year career as attorney general, which really raises some questions there. It seems like the Democrats just have an email problem. But I think that, you know, to answer your original question, I'm not totally sure, but it could definitely be it could look like it would be intentional, just knowing her, you know, favorability ratings are pretty darn low.
Yes. Roy Cooper is the king of bad timing. He came out with this big, and I know you remember it, but it was this big ad and rollout about the state of the North Carolina economy the day that he was set to stand behind Pat McCrory rolling out new jobs. He comes out with his new Raise Your Hand ad, and it was about a week later that the North Carolina Republican Party came out and said that over 300,000 jobs have been created. This is the fastest growing GDP in the state, the fastest growing median income, and the unemployment rate is 4.7%. So it feels like every time he goes to say something bad about the state of the economy, the job that Governor McCrory and the North Carolina legislature has done, it blows up in his face every time.
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% accurate. I mean, there's no the facts are clear. The North Carolina economy, since the North Carolina Republicans have taken over leadership in the state house, as far as the House and Senate, and the governor has taken over since 2013, we have the fastest growing economy in America. Politico Fact did a, you know, fact check on that, and they said it's true. We do have the fastest growing economy since 2013. Like you've mentioned, we've created near 350,000 jobs over the past 4 years. You know, the unemployment rate is down in all 100 counties in North Carolina. So Cooper wants to continue to distract from those facts and make up facts out of the air when places like Forbes call it the second best place to do business. Where, like I said, sources from WRAL, who's not a friendly conservative network by any means in North Carolina, fact check and say, yes, this is the fastest growing economy in America since 2013. So Cooper continues to try and distract from those facts, but facts are facts, right? I mean, there's statistics to go and there's stories where people's lives are getting better in North Carolina because there are better paying jobs, because wages are up since 2012. Faster than the national average, actually. So, yeah, I mean, that's what happens. Even Joe Biden was here the other day, and Cooper was with him, and he pretty much gave some credit to Governor McCrory for the economy being on the right track here in North Carolina. So, yeah, those things do blow up in Cooper's face. And all Cooper has to do is all he can hold to is distracting from the facts, because when the Democrats had control of the state, the economy was stale. Teacher pay was either on freeze or it was lower than it is now. And I mean, that's what we have to deal with there. The Democrats, when they had control of the state, it was a complete disaster. The Republicans, and just since 2011 with taking over the House, and then 2013 with taking over the governor's mansion with Pat McCrory, have turned the state around. Like I said, you know, those numbers you read off: 4.7% unemployment rate, 350,000 jobs, fastest growing economy, fastest growing GDP, teacher pays up to over $50,000 now with benefits and everything. And they want to continue to improve on that work. So, yeah, I mean, everything continues to blow up in Cooper's face when you look at it objectively, because facts are facts. And Cooper can continue to try and distract from those things. But when you have people like WRAL and Joe Biden even stating that the North Carolina economy is in a good place and on the right path, those things definitely blow up in Cooper's face for sure.
It has been fascinating. You mentioned Joe Biden here in North Carolina last week. Ever since Hillary Clinton she's not come off the campaign trail, but she's been on it very little over the past 2 weeks. And President Obama just did his first solo appearance yesterday. Tim Kaine and Joe Biden have been going around the country. It feels like with both nominees, the poll numbers for them get better when they're not the ones talking. And it seems very interesting because, like, whenever Trump stopped, I mean, there was a week where he really didn't do much, and it was just Mike Pence that his numbers went up. Do you think that just speaks to how unpopular both nominees are, that it takes their running mate surrogates to get their numbers up?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely both – I mean, the country sees them as both very unfavorable, very, you know, untrustworthy, unhinged. Obviously, words – Clinton gets the untrustworthy status a lot from the American people, and then Trump gets that kind of, like, unhinged. Would we be able to trust him, you know, with the nuclear codes, leading our foreign policy, making the decisions in the Situation Room? So you obviously have that dynamic there where the American people just don't like their choices. Millennials absolutely hate their choices. Most millennials can't stand, I think it was like 70% of them are dissatisfied with their party's nominee. The Washington Post came out with an article on that about 2 months ago. So, you know, young people and millennials have taken over as far as the largest generation now. So they'll have the largest impact probably in the next election coming up here in the next few elections. Obviously, you know, every 2 year elections and obviously the 4 year elections with the governor and president races. But yeah, I mean, I think it definitely speaks to that. Both these nominees are two of the worst that the parties have to offer. If I'm speaking frankly, that's me as a Republican. I think Trump's a terrible nominee for the Republicans. And most people won't tell you that, but I'm not, you know, afraid to say, I think I've got massive concerns about the Republican nominee. And I've obviously got even more concerns about the Democratic nominee, just seeing her record in play, and seeing her continually, lie in a lot of the corruption that's happened, over her political lifetime, from being in the U.S. Senate all the way through Secretary of State and now being the Democratic nominee for president. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because both of the VP candidates, Tim Kaine, although he's a Democrat, I have massive respect for him. I think he's a good senator for the Democrats. Obviously, I disagree with him, you know, a good majority of his policies, but I think he's a good man. And then Mike Pence was a solid governor in Indiana, and he was a great congressman when he was, you know, representing Indiana in D.C. there for, I think, about a decade, maybe even a little more. So both of them are steady men of integrity who understand policy, you know, understand how our government works and are trying to put forth solutions to make America even better than it is today when it comes to the economy and foreign policy and some of those things that are key issues for voters. But, yeah, I think that definitely speaks to their not being very popular. And when you have surrogates having to get out there like Mike Pence, like Joni Ernst, people who are likable for the Republicans. And on the other side, you've got obviously Barack Obama, who's got very high approval ratings right now, and Tim Kaine and Joe Biden, who are all popular with the American people for the most part. Those things definitely help when they hear those types of people speaking for those candidates. But I don't think it's any surprise that poll numbers go up a little bit for both of them when those types of people are speaking on the behalf of the party and on behalf of that person. So, yeah.
I think it's going to be very interesting, especially here in North Carolina over the next week or two. Last night, Donald Trump laid out his child care speech, which I actually thought it was a pretty good speech with a pretty decent idea. Tomorrow night, I believe, is his big economic speech. And in a place like North Carolina, where so many families are working families, and where the economy, like we've already said, is up under a Republican governor, but still is a bit handcuffed by the federal government, I'm very interested to see what the effect of these two speeches is going to be here. How do you think it's going to work out?
Yeah, well, number one, I mean, when you look at Hillary and Trump on the economy, I would trust Trump a little bit more on the economy than I would trust her, just because, I mean, he is a businessman. He would have a lower tax rate than she would. So I think the economy would do a little bit better under him, obviously, than it would Hillary. Now, his trade deals would, you know, some of the tariffs he's proposed could obviously have a big effect on the economy. But job creation here in the U.S., I think he would do a better job than she would, just because her tax rate is out the roof for even middle-class Americans. It'd be a huge burden. But on his family plan, as far as with the paid leave, that's what you're talking about, I'm assuming. Yeah, it's So here, and in theory, it's a good idea. Like, you know, people, you know, I want people to be able to take care of their kids. I understand, you know, working middle class families, sometimes both the parents have to work. Or both the parents do want to work. They really like their career. And so those are, you know, situations that happen. But I don't know if making other Americans pay for and be taxed higher who don't have children to pay for other people's kids, daycare, et cetera, is the right way to do it. I don't know if that's the conservative, limited government way. And I don't know if that would end up actually being – it would be more expensive for the American people in general because taxes would obviously be higher. Who's going to pay for that? Well, the American workers are going to pay for that. Most American workers are middle-class families when you look at the average income in the United States. So, and in North Carolina especially, we've got a lot of middle-class families here. So it would definitely affect them in a negative way if we make the federal government the one taxing us higher to pay for, you know, daycare and childcare. And it's an important thing. I mean, that's definitely something that needs to be brought up. I think a better solution may be giving tax breaks to companies that help out their employees with childcare expenses, whether that's crediting them some sort of stipend, crediting them some sort of, you know, time off for to be able to take care of their kids during that time, or there's something through the company. I think something like that would be a little bit more appropriate. And then a second thing, a more practical thing, right away would be, hey, let's continue to cut income tax. That's very important. Let's put more money back in the pockets of hardworking middle-class families. So that's cutting the income tax, that's stretching out the income that's taxed. So here in North Carolina, in 2 years, we're taking it from $15,500 up to $17,500, $200 more, where that first $17,500 you make in North Carolina, you're not taxed on. So that's $2,000 more in your pocket at the end of every tax year. That's important. So I think doing things like that, continuing to cut taxes on middle-class families, continuing to create better-paying jobs for middle-class families so they can continue to advance in their career and make more money, to pay for childcare, to, you know, pay off student loans, to put money towards saving for your kids' college, buying a house, putting a down payment on a house, retirement, those types of things that are really important to families, just so they can experience the American dream and give a good life for their family. So I totally understand that dilemma, but I just don't know if making the American people and putting that tax burden on everyone is the right way to do it, and really the fair way to do it. So like I said, some of those things I talked about, giving incentive to companies, cutting taxes for families so they have more money in their pocket and they're continuing to create good-paying jobs so they can make more money in the long run, I think are some important things and the way to look at it. But I don't think people like Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity, who made fun of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in 2015, for, you know, free college and those types of things, that are now going to, are they going to now stump for Trump and say, oh, this is the right thing to do now, even though that's really what Hillary and Obama have been proposing and the Democrats have been proposing for the last 2 years now. So it comes to what is conservatism, and that's not, you know, taxing people and making other people pay for things is something that we've pushed back against as conservatives, and people like Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham have pushed against for years now. So it'll be interesting to see, will other Republican talk show hosts and people backing Trump, even elected officials, will they back this plan? Because that'll be very interesting to see as how you would be a limited government Republican who believes in taxing people higher to pay for something that they're not going to benefit from. So that'll be interesting to see.
One thing that I've heard from a few people just over the past, I guess it's 12, 15 hours now since it happened, has been that this is a decent place for common ground, I guess, and meeting in the middle with the Democrats. And I'm curious to see over the course of the next week, 2 weeks, however long, what the reaction is, because it feels like the first 24 hours is not a really good time to judge how people are going to react to something, because a lot of times
sure.
they haven't even read it yet in that window.
Right.
So I'll be very interested to see how people respond as it gets further along in the process.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely right
there.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say,
the only other thing that I... Sorry.
You go ahead, then I'll go.
Go ahead. All right.
You first.
One thing that I think is pretty interesting that I've read over the course of the past, I guess it's been 2 weeks, has been ever since the convention, there's been a ton of speculation over cabinet selections for both sides. And I just read, I think it was last Thursday, that it is seen by a lot of people as likely that Jeb Hensarland from Texas would be the Secretary of the Treasury. And he's a very conservative guy. And that I would be, it'd be really intriguing to see how all of this would work out with him, because he doesn't strike me as a guy that would want to implement this family care plan that just got put out. So that's an intriguing thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. And it comes down to is, hey, even if Republicans proposing legislation or ideas, doesn't necessarily make them Republican, right, those ideas. So it comes down to that. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, this year has just been crazy for people flip-flopping and caving in and on conservative principles and policies. So we'll see what happens. I have no idea, to be honest with you. So
yeah.
We'll see how that all plays out.
I think that is all that we had to talk about. And there's been a lot that's been going on, but there's just not enough information to speculate, especially here in North Carolina, with some recent announcements by companies. And so we'll have you on maybe in a couple of weeks as more information comes out and talk about it again.
Appreciate it, man. I always enjoy chatting, and have a good rest of the day.
Thanks for coming on. See ya.
Anytime.